Over the years, there has been a growing distrust in science due to several factors, which has resulted in scientific fact now having to share the floor with opinion pieces in an effort to seem impartial through the media's lens. That being said, a sense of skepticism should always be encouraged, and several past scientific experiments have been done in extremely unethical and inhumane ways. Even today, all around the world, horrible things are done to animals in the name of scientific experiments. This is becoming regulated in certain corners, but unfortunately, it will continue for many more years. The key to understanding the scientific method is to understand that it is a constant search for answers, thus changing as our understanding grows. Experiments on living creatures are a flaw in human ethics, not to be laid at the feet of the scientific method itself. Human beings have the ability to commit horrifying acts, whether it be out of love, religion, science, or anger. Most of the time, we manage to keep these darker aspects of human nature at bay, putting our best selves forward and attempting to keep a clear head. But what if that was taken away from us? What if, day by day, we were left in a state where the clarity of who we are as people were left to rot and decay, leaving us as nothing but an empty shell? My name is Luke Mordew, and this urban legend is the Russian sleep experiment. The nights can be stressful for many in the modern world, with life consisting of financial burdens and work-related stresses. We all want to live our lives and have new experiences. However, we also know that we need to work hard and knuckle down just to survive, which often drains us from all angles, leaving us tired and unrested. Too many of us spend our evenings winding down by staring at the social media apps on our screens, bombarded with images, headlines, and videos designed to keep us fixated upon it for as long as possible. Once we finally pry ourselves away from the screens, we rest. Only now, we have anxious thoughts begin to creep into our minds as we relive embarrassing moments from our past and imagine troublesome events in our futures. The next day, we wake up feeling fatigued and sensitive. By the afternoon, we may also find ourselves snappier and more irritable than we usually would be. This is one of the hundreds of ways we torture ourselves with poor sleep, causing a detriment not only to our health, but also to our social environments. We become a version of ourselves that we do not wish to be, now left as a grouchy, snippy iteration of who we are. A bad night's sleep is enough to set our day off to a terrible start. So imagine how it may feel to have gotten no sleep at all. Now imagine what it would be like to have not slept in over a week. Not because of restlessness inside, but due to external forces, with malevolent individuals waiting to see how long it was before you finally cracked. In this chapter, I will tell the story of the Russian sleep experiment as it is said to have occurred, only writing it up in my own words for the sake of format. However, the events that occur and the order in which they happen are directly related to the original telling. The year was 1947. And the world was again readjusting to life after a world war. In some places, life had already gone back to normal, with people dancing and laughing their weekends away. Although, this was of course not the case for all. Many were still haunted by the horrifying events that had occurred, resulting in many sleepless nights. Their partners would do all they could to try and help during these times. But the stoic nature of many of the men had proved this difficult. That said, at least they had each other, which was more than could be said for the prisoners of war who were still being held captive in several places around the world. Five of these prisoners were now making their way down a long corridor, guided by soldiers in a covert test facility within the boundaries of Soviet Russia. The soldiers guided the five men, who had been labeled as enemies of the state, into a disused gas chamber. When they were picked to be part of this experiment, they were promised that they would be set free in return for their commitment over the next 30 days. None of the men believed this to be true. It had not been long since they saw with their own eyes the aftermath of lies luring victims to their deaths. That being said, what else could they do? What alternatives did they have? To rot in a Soviet prison? At least here, there was a sliver of hope that they would be released and finally be free again. The prisoners inside were terrified and confused, their bodies shaking as they stood silently together, nervously waiting for the coming instructions. However, the soldiers said nothing, simply closing the large, heavy metal door behind them and sealing it shut. The prisoners didn't say a word to each other, listening for any sounds that may clarify what would happen next. Although, nothing would happen. The men were simply left inside whilst the scientists watched them through the thick glass of the one-way mirror. These scientists would study them for the next 5 days, making notes as the men complained that they could not sleep, no matter how tired they got. On the first night, they had suspected that it was nothing more than a problem with their stress and anxiety. But by the second, they had begun to realize that this sleep deprivation was pre-planned and being forced upon them. Slowly, the Soviet scientists had been releasing their experimental gas into the room to disrupt any sleep the prisoners needed to block any chance of slumber. By the time they had reached this fifth day, the men had begun to act strange and erratic, growing irritable with each other and furious at their captors. They would, on occasion, walk up to the two-way mirror and whisper to the scientists that they knew were on the other side. The Soviets couldn't always understand what was being said, but from what they could piece together, the whispered words were becoming more and more sinister with each passing day. By the ninth day, the men were no longer themselves, now sat in separate areas of the room, merely staring into the blankness ahead of them, as their bodies were shutting down, leaving nothing but these zombie-like beings in their wake. That was, except one, who had been gradually showing increasing signs of stress these past few days. Now, he lay on the floor in the fetal position, screaming at the top of his lungs over and over. The sound was sharp and piercing, causing discomfort amongst the scientists, and yet, the other four men inside had no reaction, as if nothing was happening at all. By the end of this day, this screaming man had utterly destroyed his vocal cords, and although he still lay there screaming as hard as he could, all that released were a few whimpering crackles from the back of his dry throat. The following day, the screaming began again, although this time, it was another of them, now staring at the wall in front of him, screaming at it with all of his might. The scientists had demanded that the soldiers intervene, not wanting them all to have badly hurt themselves, not even halfway through the experiment. However, the prisoners had barricaded themselves inside, making it impossible for anyone to get to them. By the afternoon, the men had gathered their feces and smeared them all over every bit of glass they could find, leaving the scientists in darkness. At this point, they were at a loss, unsure on what to do. Not only could they not get inside, but now they could no longer see them. They decided to wait it out, hoping that once the feces had dried a little, it would become clearer to see. And so for the next 5 days, the scientists listened carefully for any strange sounds they may hear from inside. There would be moments of clicks and the sounds of metal clangs, although the men inside would no longer talk to one another, nor would they call out to the researchers. The scientists only knew that the men were still alive because they had actively asked over the tannoy, getting a slow, low response from them as they answered yes. On the 15th day, the scientists, who had so far put the act of study before ethics, had begun to feel the slow burn of shame as they realized this had gone too far. Now announcing to the men inside that they were finally about to switch off the gas. Although, to their surprise, the men ran to the glass and pushed themselves up against it, begging for the scientists to keep the gas flowing in fear that they would finally fall asleep. The Soviets watched the silhouettes of four of the five men beg for the gas through the smeared glass in horror, unsure on what they were to do next. However, as the feces began to smear onto their bodies, the scientists were finally given a peek back into the room. And what they saw absolutely horrified them. The four men were now covered in blood, with their bodies pried open and their skin unwrapped from the muscle peeling away from them. Two had begun disemboweling themselves, and one had seemingly plucked out one of his eyes. At this point, they were at a loss, unsure on what to do. The floor was now covered in about 4 inches of dark, murky water, seemingly caused by them jamming the piping system that would allow them to wash, now blending in with the blood and muck. However, the worst part was the sight of the fifth prisoner, who now lay face up in the water across the room. His stomach had been ripped open and his intestines removed, whilst on his arms and neck were chunks of meat ripped away in the shape of a human mouth. The experiment had to be called off. It had gone far further than any of them had ever anticipated. Finally, with the help of several soldiers, they broke into the disgusting room to finally get the men out. The prisoners were horrified by this, screaming and shouting at the soldiers to let them remain, fighting with all they had to ensure that they could not be captured, even killing one of the Soviets as they did. The remaining four would be taken to the hospital to treat their self-inflicted wounds, which included numerous stitches, bandages, and the reinsertion of certain organs. Although, even here, during all of this, they refused to go to sleep. It was as if that ability had been taken away from them, with them describing that if they were to fall asleep finally, they would die. Which, unfortunately, did happen to one of them as they drifted off to sleep. Bafflingly to most involved, the soldiers had now been ordered to clean up the room and put the men back inside under restraints. The scientists were dismayed by this decision, although the prisoners themselves were overjoyed at the notion of staying awake for longer. It wasn't long before the soldiers wheeled the remaining three prisoners back into the gas chamber, with their wrists strapped down with leather harnesses. Once inside, they were wired up to several monitors that kept an eye on their brainwave activity and heart rate. It seemed that after the fascinating results so far, the higher-ups wanted to see what would happen next with as much detail as possible. The soldiers began to explain what would be happening next. Before this speech could even take place, the third of these surviving men had finally fallen asleep and died on the spot. This had caused the remaining two to scream at the soldiers, demanding that they leave the room so that the gas could be administered once again, seemingly terrified of the idea of going to sleep. However, the soldiers had a new plan up their sleeves that nobody had seen coming. as they dragged two of the more stubborn researchers into the room, announcing that they too were to be part of this experiment from now on. Although after seeing what had occurred before, the scientists would rather die than be left here. And so, in a moment of panic, the biggest of the two grabbed the gun of the soldier beside him, instantly shooting him in the head. This caused the men to jump back, grabbing their guns as the second scientist darted out of the door. In the commotion of it all, they hadn't noticed that one of the prisoners, who was now becoming erratic and panicked, had wiggled one of his arms out of his harness, now lunging forward to grab the scientist, who spun on the spot, firing their gun in shock, shooting the patient in the face. As this happened, the soldiers locked the door, leaving the scientist inside with the only other survivor and three corpses. To the Soviets, it would be a waste to open fire on this new subject, and they wanted to continue their experiment. This was nothing but a curveball in their proceedings. They gathered in the next room, watching through the glass as the scientist edged closer to the remaining prisoner. He studied the straps that kept him tied down, ensuring that they were secure and tight. He watched the blood that was already dyeing the white bandages a deep shade of ruby. He studied the prisoner's blackened, sunken eyes around the grey pupils and its wide, decrepit mouth from where his cheeks had begun to tear away. The scientist's eyes began to fill with tears, although these were not tears of sadness or sympathy. They were of fear. This prisoner that now lay in front of him, staring back through his pale eyes, a growing smirk on his face, was no longer what we could call a human being. All signs of life that may glimmer in its eyes had switched off. The scientist turned to the glass, screaming at the soldiers on the other side, "I won't be locked in here with these things!" before he turned back to the prisoner and raised his gun to his chest. "What are you?" he asked through a stutter. The prisoner merely smiled, its blackened eyes staring up at the tearful researcher, and whispered, "You know the answer." It chuckled to itself before adding, "We are the madness that lurks within." But before it could continue any further, the scientist opened fire, shooting a bullet into the prisoner's chest. The monitor began to flatline beside them, releasing a high-pitched ring to emanate around the bloodied room. But before they finally lay to rest, the subject let out one last sigh with the words, "So nearly free." The Russian Sleep Experiment is a story with suspense, build-up, a horrifying climax that ends on an eerie final note. It is due to all of these factors that the tale itself blew up so fast across the internet, as in the early 2010s, it was being shared amongst millions. It is now considered one of the most shared creepypastas ever made, even hailed as one of the most shocking and impactful urban legends of the internet age. Conspiracy theories are rife around the world, and with some occasionally proving themselves to be founded within the basis of reality, it is no wonder that a story involving secret experiments within government confounds has come to light. As somebody who adores the scientific method and is fascinated by its continued findings, I would be fanatical not to accept that horrible things have been done in the name of scientific discovery. With that in mind, the idea of a Russian sleep experiment is not an unrealistic notion, especially with it being attributed to the often perceived evil communist Russia. Although unethical experiments have happened all around the world. In the USA, back in the 1960s and 70s, clinical psychologists led by Peter Neubauer ran a secret, extremely unethical experiment when they separated twins and triplets from each other at a very young age, adopting them out as singlets without any information of their siblings' existence. This experiment, partly funded by the National Institute of Mental Health, eventually came to light when three identical triplets accidentally found each other in the 1980s. One of the triplets, David Kelman, would express his anger at the experiment, stating, "We were robbed of 20 years together." In 2018, director Tim Wardle would release his feature documentary, Three Identical Strangers, a harrowing look into the lives of these triplets. To rub salt in the wound, many felt that the psychiatrists who headed the study, Peter Neubauer and Viola Bernard, showed little to no remorse for the study, even going as far as to suggest that what they did was good for the children, giving them a chance to grow separate individual personalities. Unfortunately, much of what they found in the study has not even been shared, as the results are stored in an archive at Yale University, where they cannot be unsealed until the year 2066. However, both psychiatrists have shared some of their findings through papers and a book. Throughout the 1930s and 1940s, the Japanese Imperial Army conducted biological warfare and medical testing on innocent civilians, with most of it happening in China. General Shiro Ishii was the lead physician at what was named Unit 731, and during this time, an estimated 200,000 may have died. Numerous diseases were studied to determine their effectiveness and ease of use in potential biological warfare, including anthrax, plague, dysentery, typhoid, paratyphoid, and cholera. This involved infecting wells with cholera and typhoid whilst spreading plague-ridden fleas across Chinese cities. According to sources, these fleas were dropped in clay bombs, which would fall 200 to 300 meters and explode, leaving no trace. There are also reports of prisoners being made to march in freezing weather to be later experimented on in search of the best way to treat frostbite. Former prisoners of this unit would go on to tell harrowing stories of their time in Unit 731, with claims that they had been dosed with poison gas, put in pressure chambers, and even dissected whilst conscious. There have been several reports claiming that the US government agreed with the Japanese government to keep these experiments a secret, as part of a plan to make Japan a Cold War ally. Still, in the late 1990s, Japan finally acknowledged the unit's existence. But it wouldn't be until 2018 that the names of thousands of members were finally disclosed. Between 1946 and 1948, according to sources collected by Professor Susan Reverby, the US and Guatemalan governments co-sponsored a study that involved deliberately infecting 1,500 Guatemalan men, women, and children with syphilis to study the test chemicals that may prevent the spread of the disease. Those who were diagnosed with syphilis were reportedly given penicillin to help with the condition. However, there is no evidence that they had ever given informed consent to be part of this experiment. It wouldn't be until 2010 that the then Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, issued a joint statement apologizing for the experiments. The most famous case of the USA lapsing in medical ethics continued for 40 years before it was finally shut down. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the US Public Health Service launched a study in 1932 on the health of untreated syphilis in black men. The researchers, under the study name of the Tuskegee Study, tracked the progression of the disease in 399 men in Alabama, whilst also studying 201 healthy men, only telling them that they were being treated for bad blood. Over this time, none of them would get adequate treatment for their ailment. And even when penicillin became the drug of choice to treat it in 1947, it was still not used. This wouldn't end until 1972, when a newspaper article finally exposed the study, with officials shutting the Tuskegee study down. In 1971, Philip Zimbardo, who would become Professor Emeritus of Psychology at Stanford University, set out to test the nature of human nature. The intention behind this was to see what would happen when otherwise good people are put in positions where they could commit evil, now famously known as the Stanford Prison Experiment. For this, he set up a prison and paid several college students to play guards and prisoners. The experiment was intended to go on for 2 weeks. However, after just 6 days, the experiment was shut down after things rapidly spiraled out of control. The guards had quickly become abusive and oppressive. In just a couple of days, they had grown sadistic, whilst the prisoners became severely depressed and showed clear signs of intense stress. According to the Stanford Prison Experiment website, guards forced inmates to strip naked, where they would spray their bodies with delousing chemicals, amongst other things. It is also worth noting that recent reports have suggested that some of this story has been misconstrued or exaggerated. Philip Zimbardo is reported to have actively encouraged the guards into cruelty. At the same time, it is also said that some of the inmates would fake their supposed breakdowns, with one by the name of Douglas Corpy claiming that he faked a meltdown so that he would be released early in order to study for an upcoming exam. Out of all of these experiments, the most infamous, of course, involves the Nazis, carried out by Joseph Mengele, an SS physician at Auschwitz during the Holocaust. It is said that he would check the carriages of the incoming trains, combing through the victims in search of twins to prove his theories that the Aryans reigned supreme. The vast collection of prisoners would be experimented on in several ways, most notably to test treatments for the infectious diseases and chemical warfare. Some were reportedly forced into freezing temperatures and low-pressure chambers for aviation experiments, much like what had been described in Unit 731. A few of the doctors responsible for these atrocities would eventually be tried as war criminals. But unfortunately, Joseph Mengele himself would escape to South America, living in Brazil until he died in 1979. These are just a few accounts of disgraceful acts committed in the name of science. And in all of them, the victims had been stripped of their humanity and freedoms. However, not only that. In many of the cases, the experiments were done in secret, amongst shadowy people and behind closed doors. Due to these despicable acts committed by those in power, there is still so much distrust behind the notion of science, which is, by its very definition, simply the consistent search for truth and understanding. It is not science itself that is the enemy. It is the horrifying way in which it is conducted by those who treat others as mere subjects. With this in mind, a story from an experiment about Soviet Russians forcing their subjects to stay awake is not unrealistic. In fact, it sounds more possible to have happened than not. This sets up a solid basis for what eventually becomes an extraordinary and horrifying tale. One that makes us question the very essence of evil as an entity. However, regarding this story, there is no scientific ground to the notion that a gas or any other substance can keep a person awake for 30 days. With the most potent drugs granting a couple of days without sleep at most. This in itself begins to crack at the tail. But on top of this, There is no evidence of the experiment ever really taking place. Several news organizations attempted to trace the story's origins to crack its secrets, and this investigation led them to its original posting on a website now known as Creepypasta Wiki. On August 10th, 2010, user Orange Soda shared the story with readers, but the actual name of the person behind the account is still unknown. The story is often shared alongside a creepy image of a grotesque, demonic-like figure smiling back at the camera. I had seen this image for years before I ever came across this story, and it must be said that it stands out amongst many others. However, as it turns out, this is not truly the image of the patients from the story. It is a life-size animatronic Halloween prop named Spasm. The story was a harrowing one, with just the right balance of believability, realism, and horror to make it stand out as a powerful piece of storytelling. It quickly went viral, spreading worldwide and capturing the imagination of readers. It would eventually even begin making its way into other art forms, now appearing in longer formats such as a novel, stage play, and several films, short and long, to this day. Once we acknowledge that the story of the Russian sleep experiment is nothing but an internet-based urban legend, we may find ourselves stuck with other burning questions lingering behind our sleepy eyes. Ones that ask, what would actually happen if we were to stop sleeping? How detrimental to our health could this truly be? And has an experiment like this ever been attempted? I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future. And this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You will also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show. Please help us continue our journey, and in return, become part of our team. Not only that, but if you join us today, you'll be entered into a prize draw where I'll be choosing 8 patron names at random before the next season begins. Once contacted, if permission is granted, you will be written into one of our new stories, putting you within the legends we tell. Visit our Patreon page by following the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. The current world record documented for the longest time spent awake remains awarded to Randy Gardner, who stayed awake for a little over 11 full days in 1963. According to sources, His intention behind this was to prove that nothing bad would happen if he didn't sleep. He, in turn, ended up proving the opposite to his hypothesis, though, as during this time, Randy was seen to experience severe behavioral and cognitive changes. These included mood swings, memory issues, severe difficulty focusing, paranoia, and hallucinations. Some amphetamines have been used in history to keep soldiers alert during times of war. However, none are strong enough to keep people awake for too long. And even if they could, the soldiers would not be much use after a short while anyway. It takes just 48 hours without sleep to see an individual begin to move notably slower and become more disoriented. A person can even start to hallucinate, making it extremely difficult for them to perform simple daily tasks. On top of this, the chances of mistakes being made go up significantly. In fact, the US Department of Transportation has estimated that drowsy driving is responsible for around 1,550 fatalities and 40,000 non-fatal injuries in any given year. In a nationwide study on motor vehicle accidents between 1986 and 1995, psychologist Stanley Coren studied the effects of the lost hour of sleep on the change of the clocks every spring. The results of this study were fascinating and eye-opening in equal measure. With a 17% increase in traffic deaths on the Monday following the time change. Now, of course, we must always be cautious not to confuse correlation and causation. However, this study seemed to show the same results every year within it. A report conducted by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine claims that one in every five serious motor vehicle injuries is correlated with driver fatigue. This only becomes more prevalent when we see that in the USA, 80,000 drivers fall asleep behind the wheel on any given day, with 250,000 accidents a year related in some way to sleep deprivation. In fact, people who drive after being awake for 17 to 19 hours perform worse than those with a blood alcohol level of 0.05. Whereas someone who has been awake for at least 24 hours will perform worse than somebody with a blood alcohol content of 0.10%. This is startling, especially considering that the drink drive limit in the UK and the USA is 0.8%. Dr. Itzhak Fried, a professor of neurosurgery at the University of California, Los Angeles, better known as the UCLA, found in his study that sleep deprivation makes it difficult for brain cells to communicate effectively. During this study, the researchers recruited 12 patients with epilepsy who, as part of their preparation for a surgery that was completely unrelated to the study, had electrodes implanted into their brains. This allowed the researchers to monitor many of the individual brain cells. The patients were then instructed to stay awake throughout the night whilst the researchers measured the participants' brain activity as they carried out specific tasks. Amongst these were categorizing images of faces, places, and animals as fast as possible. From what they could see, each image caused cells in different brain areas to produce distinctive patterns of electrical activity, with the researchers focusing more on the temporal lobe, which regulates visual perception and memory. What they found was that as the subject grew tired, it became increasingly challenging for them to categorize the images promptly, with their brain cells literally slowing down. Another investigation conducted by psychologist David Dingus gave similar results, gathering several young volunteers to sleep in a laboratory setting for 10 to 20 days. During the study, he randomly assigned volunteers different amounts of sleep, and he found that those who managed less than 8 hours of sleep in the night would perform significantly worse, including worse memory, a reduced ability to make decisions, and worse attention spans. What I found most fascinating about this study, though, was that those who had only managed 4 hours of sleep per night for a fortnight had brain deficits that were very similar to those who hadn't slept at all for 3 nights in a row. Studies over and over again prove how detrimental poor sleep is to our health. But on top of this, it is said to also dramatically impair our memory and concentration whilst simultaneously increasing our stress hormones and disrupting our natural metabolism. But not only that, it is known to cause havoc on our mental health. Some of the most common effects of sleep deprivation are an increase in depression and irritability. In fact, people with anxiety and stress disorders might even find themselves struggling even further with their emotions. In addition, it will affect your problem-solving skills, learning skills, reaction times, and judgment. But you'll find that your issues are not only psychologically based. On a physical level, your immune system will also be weakened, and your energy levels will significantly decrease. Science suggests that by getting an extra 60 to 90 minutes of sleep each night, most people can improve their concentration, strengthen their immune systems, and decrease their risks of causing accidents. As during sleep, the body secretes hormones that help control several things, including appetite, metabolism, and glucose processing. Popular belief says that you can catch up with sleep on the weekend, with a lay-in being a consistent aspect of Sunday morning. However, science tells us that this is most likely doing more harm than good, as by sleeping in so much later than you usually do, you're confusing your body clock, making us feel even more groggy than usual as we get up for work Monday morning. Your best bet is to focus on going to bed earlier throughout the week to ensure you get the hours you need. Most people need between 7 to 9 hours of sleep, which has popularly been leveled out at around 8. Although, our bodies are all different, and if you notice yourself being notably tired after just 7 hours, it's likely you need to add an hour to your rest. In the story of the Russian sleep experiment, the lack of sleep has extremely dramatic results in those afflicted by it. And although we may not become the monstrous figures described in its tales, there are fascinating results to be found, which are summed up as follows. After just a few hours without needed sleep, your risk of heart attack or stroke rises significantly. As this sleep deprivation reaches nearer to a full day, your hand-to-eye coordination will quickly decline, whilst, as previously noted, your mood and judgment will significantly drop. By the time you reach 24 hours without sleep, your blood pressure, cortisol, and thyroid stimulation hormones will all increase, while your brain selectivity will significantly slow. Some studies have found that even this early, subjects are more likely to recall false memories. By 36 hours, your long-term memory formation will decline, with soldiers who have experienced this describing full days missing from their memory. By 48 hours, you'll begin to experience microsleeps, where you are to fall asleep for several seconds, often with the individual not even realizing it's happened. Alongside this will be a further decrease in insulin whilst your speech begins to slur more often. At 72 hours, researchers have found that individuals begin to hallucinate whilst also struggling to remember things. Your sensitivity to light will also increase, and your previous irritable, anxious, low moods will begin to amplify. By a week, your hallucinations will have strengthened, now joined by spouts of paranoia, with some individuals even describing that they began to doubt their own reality. It seems that by day 11, the willpower one might have to stay awake is gone, and sleep becomes an inevitability, although it has been suggested that someone could potentially live without sleep for months. That being said, it is likely that they would die before this due to many complications caused by lack of sleep, not to mention any accidents that are likely to occur during this time span. Sleep deprivation may not be the catalyst of death at the exact moment. However, it would very much be the cause. An article published in the Psychology of Violence journal suggests that sleep problems may play a far greater role in aggression than we had previously understood. The authors, Zlatan Krizan and Anne Herlash of Iowa State University, showed a case study where violent offenders had become notably less aggressive after being treated for sleep problems. Brain research also heavily indicates that poor sleep can and will influence our ability to control our impulses and how we emotionally respond to threats. As we've established, unethical experiments have happened in the past and continue to this day, usually behind the scenes where the limitations of rules and ethics cannot occur. That said, sleep deprivation as a form of torture is still happening in many places. In fact, up until 2009, this was considered standard practice by the US military, seen then as a humane way to interrogate prisoners. Although now, at least on an official level, this way of torture has stopped. Sleep deprivation as a form of torture goes back a long way, long before we understood any of the intricate details that came with it. During the witch trials that existed across Europe and North America, tens of thousands of women were tortured and executed due to superstitious propaganda. In Scotland, though, they had a form of torture that they found specifically effective. This was known as waking the witch, which would be the act of enforcing sleep deprivation until the accused was so exhausted that they would hallucinate and share false confessions. These slurred words would then later be used as evidence of their guilt. Sleep is as important as food and water, and the effects without it can be just as dire. We have understood its importance for much longer than our understanding of the human brain. It took me far too long in my life to really acknowledge how important it was for my mental health. As before, I saw it as nothing more than an act you need to do as part of your day. I'm now learning to look after it properly, treating it as a form of self-care, as something that is as necessary as breathing. The story of the Russian sleep experiment, which is a completely made-up tale, has proven itself to be based on far more truth than we may first have thought. Dark and inhumane experiments have taken place over the years with some dire consequences for the patients. We may not become the monstrous beings that are left behind in the horrors of the story. However, as the studies have shown, sleep deprivation does cause many of these effects to take place. The tale is an exaggeration of the truth, a horrific magnified effect of what really does happen to a human in mind and in body during similar events. The more we are deprived of our sleep, the more dangerous, unreliable, and aggressive we become, as we are seemingly hollowed out and filled with a darkness that we, in our rested state, manage to keep at bay.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from Storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit UrbanLegendsFolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads. And join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.